From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. Daniel Zuckerman is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Republicans and Democrats in Greene County offered him an unofficial preview June 28th of the possible matchups for county legislature in November. Greene County Board of Elections Commissioner and County GOP Committee Chairman Brent Bogardus said the window for filing candidate petitions is July 9th through July 12th. Catskill incumbent Republicans Michael Bulick, Linda Overbach, and Matt Lovera are seeking re-election, along with newcomer Jack Keller. The Democrats are running Catskill Village Trustee Joseph Kowalski and newcomer Christian Hamilton. In Coxsackie, incumbent Republicans Charles Martinez and Thomas Hobart will seek re-election. In Athens, Republican Ed Bloomer and Democrat Michael Perrone are expected to face off in November. Republican Greg Davis will seek a term in the legislature representing Greenville. New Baltimore incumbent Pat Linger will run again, and he is expected to be challenged by Democrat Jim Eckel. Bogardus said Jim Thorington is the GOP's choice to represent Windham, Ashland, Jewett, and Prattsville. Greene County Democratic Committee Chair Doreen Davis said Lori Torgensen, the incumbent Democrat who currently represents that district, has not made up her mind about a re-election bid. Former legislator Patty Handel is expected to run on the Republican line to fill the Durham seat. In Cairo, both incumbents, Republican Bill Lawrence and Democrat Harry Lennon, will run again. And longtime Hunter legislator Larry Gardner, a Democrat, is seeking another term. Bogardus said Republicans are without a candidate in Hunter, Lexington, and Halcott. Davis said Democrats are still looking for candidates in Coxsackie, Greenville, and Durham. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. The heat wave that began June 30th will continue this week with temperatures above 90 degrees expected through Thursday. Linda Edwards is reporting for the Times Union that while the Red Cross advises that elderly and children are most at risk for heat stroke, that does not make others immune. Albany Medical Center Dr. Michael Daly, chief of the Pre-Hospital Emergency Medical Division, offered the following tips for avoiding heat stroke on the center's Facebook page. Drink plenty of water all through the day and stay hydrated. If you do not have access to air conditioning, stay indoors with the windows open and use a fan. Limit activity and avoid exercise or strenuous activity. Those who don't have AC may want to go to one of the cooling stations now open or go inside an air-conditioned shopping mall. The Red Cross adds these tips. Dress in loose, lightweight, and light-colored clothing and sandals, sneakers, or other lightweight shoes. Wear a wide-brimmed hat. If a home has awnings to shade windows or porches, open them. Symptoms of a heat stroke include heavy sweating, muscle cramps, fatigue or weakness, cold, clammy skin, and nausea or vomiting. After calling 911, have the heat stroke victim rest in a comfortable position in a cool place. And if they are conscious and not vomiting, give them half a glass of cool water every 15 minutes. Do not offer drinks that contain alcohol or caffeine. A list of cooling stations located throughout the region can be found at wgxc.org/newsroom. Residents throughout the Hudson Valley and Albany rallied June 30th in the brutally high temperatures to demand the reunification of immigrant families separated at the U.S.-Mexico border. Rachel Silverstein is reporting in the Times Union more than 100 protesters gathered in front of the state capitol holding up signs reading Abolish ICE and Make America Kind Again. U.S. Representative Paul Tonko, Albany Mayor Kathy Sheehan, and Assemblymember Pat Fahey were among those who addressed the crowd. Patricia Doxies reporting in the Daily Freeman, hundreds attended the rally held outside City Hall in Kingston. Among the speakers was a boy who only wanted to be identified as Alex Alanga of Holy Cross Santa Cruz Episcopal Church and Rabbi Yael Romer and Congregation Emmanuel of the Hudson Valley. Following the rally, protesters marched to George Washington Elementary School where Democratic congressional hopeful Antonio Delgado, a Rhinebeck resident, also spoke. Amy H. Wu is reporting for the Poughkeepsie Journal. Approximately 250 people expressed their opposition to the federal policy by attending the Families Belong Together rally in Rhinebeck. The rally was organized by the Reverend Richard McKeon of the Episcopal Church of the Messiah. Following a brief service in the church, attendees rallied outside. At the Albany rally, Tonko said, and I quote, "What I see happening from a front row seat in Washington is horrible. I find it vulgar that we as a nation that has always stood as a place of refuge, we promise them our strength. What do we do now? We give them our weakness, we give them our fear, and we tear children away from their families," end quote. The local rallies were among 600 similar rallies and marches held around the country to protest the removal of children from the custody of their parents, an intended consequence for those seeking shelter in the U.S. under the Trump administration's zero-tolerance immigration policy. David Lombardo is reporting for the Times Union. New York could expand its paid family leave policy to include time off following the death of a family member under a bill passed by the state legislature. If signed into law, the measure would initially allow eligible state residents up to 10 weeks off, which is a major expansion from the 4 days off that most employees currently receive from their employers. Bereavement leave could be used for the death of a spouse, domestic partner, child, stepchild, parent, parent-in-law, step-parent, grandparent, or grandchild. It would not apply to a sibling. The expansion is opposed by the Business Council of New York, which is urging Governor Andrew M. Cuomo to veto the bill. The council criticized the legislation as written, citing language that allowed bereavement leave to be taken any time after the death of a family member as opposed to immediately after. It also argues that employers would not be able to plan ahead for the absence of an employee. The council said it would be an, and I quote, immense, end quote, challenge for small businesses. The governor's office said the legislation would be reviewed by its council's office. And you can read the full story in the Times Union. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News. For weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Graham. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.